Hey, wonderfuls. Welcome to episode 471 of the JV Club with my friend and guest, Olivia Hack. What a woman. This was such a fun conversation. You might know Olivia from the Brady Bunch movies. You might know her as Ty Lee. She has also done a billion other things that you know and love. Those are just two things that I picked out because I especially love her for those. She's so funny, so talented, so candid. Rad. You know what? I'm just gonna leave it at rad. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and I will talk to you next week. I just couldn't blow a raspberry. That was very scary for a second. It was like, oh no, the sound of my youth. Don't worry about it. One time I had a thing where like something was going on with, like I burned the inside of my lip. Something was happening with the inside of my, around my lips where I couldn't whistle.
Janet, we know it was herpes. It's fine.
A series of sores for some reason was keeping me No, I couldn't whistle, and it really weirded me out. This is adult me being like.
And you can, but you can whistle now.
I mean, I've never been a good whistler. I should have established that earlier.
I can't blow out. I can only. Yeah, sucking in.
Oh, I didn't suck in. Oh, that just sounds like sucking in.
I can only do it sucking in.
Really?
Yeah, I can't do it blowing out.
Whoa, in, that's really
not,
good.
Yeah, but not out.
I'd have to retrain myself.
And you can't do it. Whistler. You can't do it sucking in.
I can't do it sucking in. Are we one person like, together to be the perfect person?
Yes. Can you do like tongue tricks?
Not really.
Like I can't roll my tongue. I can't even roll my R's.
Oh, you cannot roll your R's?
Not.
I can roll my R's, but you know, sometimes people do that thing where they turn their tongue upside down. I definitely.
Oh, I can't do any of that. Or like the taco. I can't do any of that.
I can do the taco.
Can you do the, can you do the like thing where you do this and then it sounds like.
Yeah. No. Or I would have done the actual. Yeah, but what about just like good old fashioned.
No.
Okay. First of all, I got it. Listen, this is not a visual podcast, but we got to get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
I need you to do more of like a, like you're blowing your, like keep your cheeks tight. And then do the same thing, but put your finger inside. And now fill your cheeks with air while you keep this as tight as you can. And then don't loosen up your mouth. Your finger has to force its way out like that.
No. Uh-uh.
I'm not doing it either.
And like, I've always wanted to do the whistle with the fingers too. Can't do that.
Can't do the whistle. I have 100% confidence and faith that the next time we're in person together, you're going to walk away being an expert at the pop. That thing that I was not even doing when I was trying to teach you how to do it. What other things can I try to teach you that I'm not good at? There's a very long list of stuff
anything.
I suck at.
Like when you put your special skills list for your agent or whatever, like it's so short. And like,
what do you put?
Shit. I can ride a horse. So I always check
riding a horse. I can barely ride a horse.
But I'm not physical. I'm not like sporty. I'm not particularly.
I can't juggle. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. That sort of stuff. Like I just don't have special skills. My special skill is being myself. I don't know.
I'm just not sure that anybody is looking at those, and I could be totally wrong, but I don't know that that's the area where that people are scrutinizing. I feel like nobody bothers with that. And then everyone auditions and then the person
then
is like,
train you.
By the way, can they speak a little Spanish? And then at that point your agent calls you and says like, hey, can you speak Spanish? And you're like, yeah, it's on my special skills. And then they're like, no one looks at that. Like that's what the conversation I imagine happening. Opposed to like, wait, hold on.
Let's go.
I need to look
roster.
At the special skills to make sure they
can fence or something.
Yeah. Maybe for commercial auditions, yes, but like theatrical, I feel like.
Yeah, commercial auditions are like, can you ride a scooter? And I guess you just have to. Yeah. But see, even that, like it's fine.
Wait, so where did you grow up with you and your mom?
So I grew up in West Hollywood. And back then, which people always go, oh, fancy. And like, wasn't back then in the 80s, like was pretty sketchy. Like all of it's weird. It's weird to have grown up in LA and to see LA have been kind of like a hellhole and then gotten nice and then kind of be a hellhole again. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's an odd. It's odd. LA's weird.
Yeah. But, yeah. Did you? Yeah. So you had the like. I've talked about this before, but we used to come and visit. My dad's best friends lived in La Cañada. And so we would drive out from Tucson, where I'm from, at least every summer, if not more often. And the first day that I would be in the Los Angeles area, I would have a tickle in my chest that I couldn't get rid of. And I would be coughing and stuff. And then by day like three, I had totally adjusted to the smog. And that was like in the 80s, early 90s. So I'm curious.
Well, it was really bad back then. Yeah. You know, the smog. I remember the first time I went to New Zealand, I was there for a while. And so I had like detoxed my lungs or something. And I came back and my chest hurt for like 3 days. And I was like, oh, this is this.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's
no,
I mean, way better now.
Oh, it's way better now. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, I say it's fine, but it's funny because I'm living at the beach right now and I'll be here like 2 months and there's no dust on anything. And I'll dust. I live in Burbank back home and I'll dust. And then 3 days later, there will be dust on things again. And that's not dust. That's pollution, right? And it's just settling. And yeah, so I think it's okay, but I also do a lot of hiking and then you just see that brown layer. I don't know. No, yeah. We live in a very toxic environment.
But I mean, we have AQI. We have AQI. You know what I'm saying? Like we have air quality indexes now that we can check. So like on a day where it's 89 AQI, that's not great. But like there are a lot of days in LA now where it's like 30 and it's bright. It's like that's a bright green index. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's like 30 is like, I'm trying to think of like a cute small town in the mountains. Like, I'm in Breckenridge, Colorado.
Okay.
Maybe they get down to like 3. I don't know. But green is considered like you're very good to go. And then you get into the yellow and it's like, it's fine. Like, it's okay. It's so you're not going to, you know, but I think, I mean, if we had had iPhones and they'd had apps like in the early 90s in LA, I'm sure it just would have been like the sad frowny face, and like bright red.
it was really, really, really bad. Yeah. Nowhere else is bad. And I didn't know until I went there, Salt Lake City. So
really, is it like a bowl? Cause it sort of collects everything.
So a month, a year, they have like, it's called like a toxic something and it's like toxic smog and it comes and it sits. Yeah. But it's like, you have to stay inside. Yeah. You don't go outside if you're at school. Like it's an event and it's like a weather system that comes and like, yeah. So I don't know, whatever. Salt Lake City. I don't know how we got there.
Again, we are all falling apart on the inside or on the outside.
I read something the other day that said that we inhale enough microplastics every week or every month to produce a credit card.
God.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry. Yeah.
You could really write some stand up around that. You could be like, if that's the case, I should be. Why am I not charging more? Like some sort of like, if I can produce a credit card.
It's the fall of Rome, though, I think.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like, why don't we all party and like, let's party. Let's get naked.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for like the fun part of the end of the world, as opposed to just everybody being on Zoloft, you know?
I totally understand that. I definitely had that conversation with a friend of mine a couple of days ago. Like we caught up on the phone, which in and of itself was very novel and fun. Like, oh, we're just talking to each other on the phone. and he was sort of saying that, like, you know, he's a very thoughtful, very sensitive, like lovely, lovely person. And so I would sort of imagine him tipping more into the sort of like, this is incredibly sad. Like, you know, I don't want us to be at the fall of Rome and that and all that means in the negative. But actually he was the reverse. He was like, no, you know, I've really decided like I just need to let go of all of that and just really be grateful and enjoy anything that is positive right now and really try to lean into the positive stuff and just like be in that
space. Mean, for me, life is 100% perspective, right? Yeah. And it really is that old adage of like, it's 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And I'm a nihilist really in my core, and you can be sad about it, right? Like nothing matters. Oh my gosh, this is awful. Or that can be just a really freeing experience of like nothing matters.
Yeah.
So,
When you say nihilist, I think what gets a bad rap is that people automatically go to the place of like, oh, so you shit on other people or like do like psychotic things to other people because nothing matters. Like that's not what it means. Like,
no, it's like, you know, do you, saying? Baby, like, do you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think it gets a bad rap because people think, oh, because you don't believe in heaven or hell, or because you don't believe in karma. It sounds to me like you're just saying like murder isn't off the table.
I weirdly do believe in karma.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you can. I think you can believe in
because I believe in energy, right?
Yeah.
So just because nothing matters, it doesn't mean that there's not energy out there and that we're affected by it and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just means that like we're just, you know, we're just ghosts floating on a giant rock through space. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't disagree with that at all. And what I want to ask too is like, what was your perception of kind of what was your day to day like living here when you did because I don't know, like there are, you know, friends of mine who are like, oh yeah, I'm from LA. Well, I'm from Burbank. And I went to like the big giant rock and roll church every Sunday.
Oh,
and then
God,
there are people
no.
who are like, oh no, like I'm very, like I grew up in a very secular household and like, or a hippie
no,
household. Like what was
my parents both were from, my mom was kind of from California. My dad was from Kentucky. And I, you know, if you grew up in the 50s in America, like you grow up with some sort of religion, right? But it's weird because it wasn't a religious household. Like I said prayers before I went to bed, but it was like a basic prayer, you know, it was like, I can't even remember, but like, and then we would say a prayer before, like we had dinner. So it was like, Father, bless this food we take and bless us all for Jesus' sake. You know, there was nothing personal about it.
Okay. Yeah.
And then sometime around, and we'd go to church once a year on Easter. And we'd
on Easter. Interesting. Okay.
On Easter.
I can't decode what religion this would be based on
it's not a
elements
religion.
You're
talking and it was kind of like, okay, we got to do this church thing, but really we just dress up and kind of maybe laugh and snicker our way through it.
Yeah.
And then maybe around the time I turned 12, I think my mom was like, girl, you in trouble. Like, cause I was just 12, right? And probably hormonal and slightly psychotic and whatever. And so she decided that we were going to go to church, her, me and my dad. Right. And so like, I don't know where this came from. Huh. If my mom was still alive, I would ask her, like, she just got this in her head. So maybe for like a year or two, a couple times a month we'd go to church. And I remember at one point them trying to stick me in Sunday school.
Sure.
And it was just like, bitch, please. Like, cause you're with all these other kids who've been indoctrinated. Right. So they're telling you like Noah's Ark and all this stuff. And
yeah.
You're like, none of this is, you know, making sense, guys. Yeah. And so I think she tried for some, my dad the other day, we got into it, which is such a weird thing. He's like, you're godless. And he's like, I don't know where I failed you. And I was like, Dad, like you haven't been, I've been into a church way more recently than you have. Like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
It was just the weirdest.
Wait, where was
thing.
It? Do you mind if I ask, like, what, do you remember the conversation for him?
No,
to be like, godless.
He got into it with me and he was like, well, you know, because you're godless. And he's like, I don't know where I failed you. And I was like, failed me? Am I a failure? Like, what about my life is a failure? You know? And he's like, I don't know. I can't remember where it started, but I mean, and we were laughing about it.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, Dad, like you are, I mean, if we want to talk about morals, like that ain't the person to be dishing that out. So yeah, it was just really odd, but yeah, I mean, I think they tried and I'm sure there was some sort of guilt because they were raised with religion. And I'm not an atheist. I'm just agnostic. Like, this is totally a way station to divinity or whatever. I have no idea. Like, and I think anybody who pretends to know whether you're an atheist or whether you're a fundamentalist, you know, Mormon or whatever, it's all wrong. Right. Because like, we just don't know.
Yeah.
So who knows? Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and you know, to your point, I think that the only thing that sounds like familiar about it all sounds familiar, but the idea of a parent being like, do as I say, not as I do, like that he could recognize in himself, like, well, no, I'm not this person. But I guess I thought I left it open so that Olivia could feel like she had more of an anchor to spirituality or something. And you're like, but I'm more spiritual than you are. Like, don't worry about it. I'm good. That's really funny.
I don't know. Parents, man.
Yeah. Well, it's weird too when you're like my dad's an atheist, but he's sort of he's not like All due respect, he's not like Bill Maher atheist where he's like pissed at people who believe in God. He's not like that. Or if he is, he sort of internalizes it more. But it's so interesting when like someone's lack of belief is as assertive as their belief. Like if, you know what I mean? And so I'm always interested in kids who have parents who are like, that sort of more that Bill Maher type that are like, if anyone, I know this is not your parents, I'm just like speaking about the people I've met like this.
Yeah.
Their parents are like, you're a fool. Honestly, you're a fool if you believe in God, you know? Like that's a whole different level of pressure, you know,
so
to sort of like, I don't know, what if I want to find faith in something, you know, that feels more, you know, like cut and dry too than...
Well, it's got to be weird to, have raised your kids that way and then to feel, religion dynamics in families are really interesting. Like I have a really close friend who grew up Mormon and all of his siblings have eventually have left the church and some more recently and the mom is still in it. And, you know, she's upset because they're not all going to be in the Holy Kingdom together or whatever. I forget what they call
celestial
it.
Celestial kingdom.
Yes.
Don't worry. I had to go to church for the entirety of my childhood into my teens.
Wait, were you raised Mormon?
But I wasn't raised Mormon. That's the thing. That's the problem. That's the qualifier is that my dad had primary custody of me and he's an atheist and my mom is Mormon. But she had custody of me on Sundays. So so that was like, you know, sort of the punching the time card. Like I had to go because that was, you know, I had an adult in my life who was in charge of me. And then as soon as I graduated high school.
So you weren't wearing like the magic underwear and all that stuff. Okay.
No, you don't wear the magic underwear, I think, until you, I mean, I could be wrong. I'd have to talk to somebody who stayed in the church longer or someone who's still in the church, but no, I never went inside the temple. I never, because that's not where you go for regular church. You have to have like a special recommendation or a special reason to go there. I never went there. I never got garments. Like I think of that as being more of a either like a missionary thing and then like being married thing. But it could be that when you go, by the time you're in college, maybe you're supposed to be wearing garments. I'm not sure.
Probably when you bleed. That's like when all that stuff starts, right?
No, but I mean, I would have been given that because I had to go all through high school.
Wow. So yeah, did you feel like you left the Mormon church or do you feel like you just kind of eased your way out of it?
I feel like there was never a chance that I was going to go of my own volition. So it never felt like I was leaving anything. But certainly to my mom and like my grandmother, you know, family members on my mom's side who were Mormon, I'm sure they thought of it as like, oh, no, she lost her way. And it doesn't make anyone feel better to be like, no, I never had it. I never had a way. Don't worry.
Are they like, sad that you're not? Or is it just like, I mean, you're probably a sinner in Hollywood, right?
My mom has died also, as has yours. My grandmother, my grandparents are dead. So, but yeah, I mean, I have like my mom has three siblings. I love them so much. I love them all. They're so weird and smart and different from each other. Two of them are Mormon identifying. And then one of them was like me. It was just like, no, from like the time he was a child. Mm-hmm. And then I have a bunch of cousins. And I think I figured out like last year, I think I sort of did the math and it seems like 1/3 of all of the cousins are still Mormon and 2/3 are not. So the numbers are, I think the numbers in like people raised Mormon are dwindling, but they're constantly converting people through like missionary work and stuff. Also, they're converting the dead. So they can.
Oh, right. They can like backlog,
millions of members. And if you don't know that that includes, and I'm sure it does, includes baptisms for the dead, then like, you know, you think that there are way more people walking around with Books of Mormon in their pocket.
So what type of dead people are they baptizing?
I think it's your family members. Like you can, I want to, and the reasoning is like, oh, you know, my great, great grandfather was not Mormon, but I'll never meet him if he's not Mormon because I gotta yank him out of, you know, out of the celestial kingdom and bring him up to the celestial kingdom. It's my responsibility.
Fascinating.
To get him with the rest of the family, which again, like I would love to, I think that people who on the ground do think that's why. And I think people up at the top of the ranks are like, We fooled them all. Like, they think that they're like, really, we're getting a bigger tax break because we can show that this many members of our church
and all those tidings and all that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
I don't have a ton of faith in like the hierarchy side of most institutions. So I'm not being, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not being specifically anti-Mormon. Like, I think any company, which is what this many religions are,
Scientology,
any company, I know, same. Same. I mean, I'm sure. I think it's like
and Catholicism and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just how old of a company you are. But
yeah.
You know, you're like, there's just that. There's,
I mean,
just
how much land
risk
does the Catholic Church own that they pay no taxes on and
totally,
all that stuff?
Totally.
Yeah.
So we got to start a religion.
Yeah.
And that
really,
is why
really.
I wanted to
just
welcome you onto the podcast.
Break.
We have got to start an end of days religion. Everybody
more nudity, more nudity.
Certain, you know, that's where it starts. It starts with more nudity, and we can build the rules off of that.
Perfect.
And it's going to be great. Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun. Wonderfuls, if you listen to this podcast, then you already know I love Tig Notaro. That's why I got to tell you about Don't Ask Tig. Now, Don't Ask Tig is a podcast hosted by comedian Tig Notaro. And Tig doesn't have all the answers, but with help from friends like me, Margaret Cho, Esther Perel, and Paul Rudd, they'll offer up funny and honest advice for life's many issues, like exercising bad vibes from an inheritance given by an evil relative. On my episode, we battle the tricky issue of how much a tip waiters in a foreign country, and how to fend off creepy guys at work. They can't promise it'll be good advice, but it will be a good time. Subscribe to Don't Ask Tig wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going first. It's me, Jackie Cation.
Man, she's always this bossy. Hi. I'm Lori Kilt-Martin. We're a bunch of stand-up comics, and we've been doing comedy like 60 years total, both of us, but we look amazing.
We're working out. We drop every Monday on Max Fun, and it's called The Jackie Lori Show, and you could listen to it and learn about comedy and learn about anger management and all the things.
And Jackie is married but childless, and I'm unmarried but child full. So together, we make one complete woman.
Is that just what that one's going to end?
Yeah. And we try to make Kyle laugh just like that and say, oh my God, every episode.
It's a good job.
Jackie and Lori Show, Mondays, only on Maximum Fun.
You started acting pretty young.
Yeah, like two. Yeah.
Okay. So, so if you were two, is the story in your family that you said you wanted to do it?
No. It's so funny because people are like, so did you just know? And I'm like, I don't know. No, I mean, I think when you're, and I meet kids like this all the time, when you're a certain type of kid and they're like, what do we do with this kid? And then you already live in LA, right? Like, it's a totally different thing if you're in Massachusetts or something, and someone, you know, people ask me all the time, sorry, backing up. People ask me all the time if I had a kid, if I'd put them in acting, and I always say no.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in Hollywood, it's a little easier in terms of just like, it's, you're just kind of around that. Like this sounds like nepotism and it's not, but like my dad was working for ABC at the time and like standards and practices. And like my mom had done theater. And so I mean, it was just easier to get an agent and, you know, whatever. So fine. And then, you know, it's interesting because it takes a certain type of kid. You can be cute, like for a few years, but after that point, I mean, you have to be good with people. You have to be able to take direction. You have to be able to hang out with strangers and all that sort of stuff, right? As a small child. And people always say to me like, oh, you got out alive, or you don't seem all that fucked up, or whatever. Someone said that to me literally yesterday. And my response to that is always, I don't think child acting makes you messed up in the head. I think you already have to be messed up in the head. Because for a kid to be able to access emotions and be very adult and very, really mature, honestly, most of these kids that you meet on sets are really mature.
Yes. Yeah.
You're probably already emotionally tuned in, and you're probably already going to be a depressive or a whatever, because you are more connected to and intuitive and all that stuff. So I don't think it breeds crazy people. I think you were probably already going to be on that path anyway. And then all the other stuff doesn't help. Right.
Right. Right.
Especially if you have a big rise and a big fall and all that stuff. But yeah, you're probably already going to be that way.
Yeah. Interesting. It definitely makes sense on the level of like, yeah, all the people, I know a ton of people who have been acting their whole lives and they could have or they couldn't have, for what I would know of them in terms of their personalities. Like, mm-hmm. there's not a discernible like, oh, okay, like you're this way because you grew up in show business. Like, that's definitely not, you're right. I don't have, but all it takes is a few examples of children, famous children who do go through a bunch or who do end their lives early or whatever. And then you sort of associate that. And it is a hard business. Like, people on the inside are like, ugh, I can't imagine having to go through that rejection.
Da-da-da. Yeah, it is a hard business. And I just think you're born that way. Yeah. I don't know. You are surrounded by in different situations that maybe you wouldn't be, or maybe you're exposed to drugs, or maybe it's this. And again, that like, the child actors that I see where I'm like, ugh, when they're older are the ones that were kind of, we all get tossed aside at some point, right? Unless you like started as a child star and you get to be a bigger child star or something, right?
Right.
Maybe. But at a certain point, like you are cast aside, like the work doesn't come the way it used to or whatever. And I've never been bitter about that, but I know a lot of formers. That's what I call them. Who are bitter.
Yeah.
And that's always like, I can feel it, you know, and it radiates off them. And that's a hard thing for me to see because it's not personal, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, and the parenting too, right? That's got to be a part of it. I mean, in terms of, right?
It's 100% the parenting.
Because go ahead, please. Yeah.
Oh no. Well, like a Lindsay Lohan, right? Like, I mean, hi.
She's definitely probably a textbook one that people point to, right?
Right. But terrible parents, right? Yeah. But she also had a mother who, from my understanding, was always telling her, like, you're special, you're special, you're special, right? And people are jealous of you. Mm. And there's that sort of thing. And I had a mother who was the exact opposite, probably to my detriment, who was like, you're not special and people aren't jealous of you. And, you know, was trying to keep me from having a big head, but ultimately I think it probably damaged my self-esteem, to be honest.
Poor parents. Parents don't know what to do. They don't know how to do stuff.
And it's they're just people. And so I always say, sure, put your kid in acting and then yank them out by the time they're in like junior high or something.
Yeah.
And so that they can be normal and do normal kid stuff and whatever. Cause I look back at my own thing. And like, I started when I was really young and then did commercials as you do, and then did TV. And then when I was 11, booked those Brady Bunch movies, did those, did more TV, all that stuff. Had a TV show on Lifetime and all that. And then was doing voice work and all that as well. I was telling you a story, and again, I lost it. It's gone.
Well, now by the time they're in junior high.
There you go. You got
ding,
it.
Ding,
we
ding,
brought it back.
Okay.
So by the time I hit high school, I was working too much. And I'm sorry, junior high. I was working too much. And when you're a child actor and you're in grammar school, you go, hey, I'm going to be out for a week shooting an episode of Touched by an Angel or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And they give you your lesson plan. It's fine. Well, when you're in junior high, suddenly you have six teachers and you got to get lessons plans from all six of your teachers. Yeah. They don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. They don't think you're cool.
Yeah.
They're probably, which I never use this word, but I use it more now because I was always taught not to say it. They're probably jealous a little bit, you know? And so for junior high and high school, I was homeschooled, right? And I didn't like school. I was good at it to a point. I excelled in English and history and all that stuff, was terrible in math and science. So I was like, great, let's do homeschool. Let's get it done. So I started homeschooling in high school, and I look back now, and my mom was always kind of trying to get me to go back to high school every year. And I was like, no. And I wish she had, It's hard to say because I really disliked school, but I wish she had made me because, and I didn't go to college. And so the, when I look back now, I'm like, ooh, there was like 8 years of socialization at like a really primo time where I just kind of didn't get that. And so then I made mistakes in interpersonal relationships and romantic relationships that I, had I made those mistakes at 14, probably would not have been such a big deal. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, but I also like who I am. So I don't know, you know.
No, I mean, I think that's the sort of like part of the journey, I guess, is like being able to look backwards and kind of wonder and sort of go, well, would I have changed something like on a fundamental, like, piece by piece basis? Yeah, I kind of wish that had gone differently. I can't. But the idea would be that you would want to arrive at the place where you go, but at the same time, I'm glad who I am. So I completely can think about that stuff. I can think about it. I can think about how it affects the way I treat other people. I realize everyone comes from a different place.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to live in a place of feeling like, you know, oh God, if only, you know,
because
you're right. That makes you not appreciate what's happening in the moment.
And I don't feel that way. I'm curious how it would have been different.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And but what
mistakes would I have made?
I
would have made different mistakes if I had, you know, had a different experience as well. So like you would have made plenty of mistakes in high school that you would now be looking back on and going like, I wonder what it would have been like if I'd been homeschooled.
Yeah. Oh, like absolutely. Like I said, I probably would have been a slut. I probably would have like tried drugs. Like I don't like for real though. Like for real.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. And instead I was like just in my bedroom for 4 years in high school, like seeing no one, just like doing my schoolwork, going to
auditions. Because you don't have siblings. So that's definitely different than folks who are like, oh, we were all homeschooled. You know, all four of us were homeschooled. Even that is sort of a different level of socialization than someone like you or me, who really are like, no, we're the kid in the family. Like, that's it.
Don't you find being the kid in the family, you, and maybe not for you, but like we're way more adult because you were surrounded by adults. Like
100%.
I find only children to be way more mature.
100%. And then take you going out and having your peers be of all ages, which I sort of love. I mean, I love kids and I love being on sets with kids. So I'm always like real into it when there's a kid on set and they sort of know how to respond, because I feel like a lot of the time, they're great at being kids because they are still the kid on the set.
Right.
And yet, at the same time, they also have much better skills with adults because they are so used to being around them. And that can go, to your point, it may not be what your situation is all the time. It may be just kind of who you are and who you're going to be, because you can come out of being a kid who works on sets and just be like wonderful with all kinds of people, because you are interacting with people from different classes and from different races and from, you know, in from different ages, and it can be a very diverse experience.
Oh, if
more
you
so can... than like, oh, I went to a public girls school, I have a private girls school, you know what I mean?
As a kid actor, if you get out alive, it can be the best learning experience. The trick is getting out alive, because there are bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Littered.
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 Now the pollution's the littering of bodies. Who
of dead child out. Actors.
Well, and a lot of them do, like, that's also a totally different kind of transition to do, right? Like, you can do the transition of stopping. You can do the transition of continuing to work and continuing to have that as your profession and career and being happy. And that's wonderful. Or you stay in the profession, but you leave the on-camera side. So, you know, like my friend Bryce Beckham is a wonderful editor and writer and loves being behind the camera and in the editing bay and, you know, was on a show. And people are always like, why did you, you know, as if like being on camera is the be all end all, because that's kind of how in Western culture we're socialized. Mm-hmm. But when you're on the inside of it, you're like, I mean, not everybody is going to want to do that forever.
No.
Like, in fact, it's unlikely that many will, you know?
Yeah. And I'm amazed at the people who are like kind of at their peak and like leave by choice.
Yeah.
Because, and that's again, probably me with my special skills list. Like I have no special skills. So like, this is it. Like I have to make this work because there's nothing else. I mean, I'm good with people. I guess I could be a hostess at a restaurant, but I've never had a real job.
Yeah. You could transition into something very easily. I'm not saying that you would need to, but I've made this joke, but it is 100% true for me. And I'm saying this coming from a lot of skills because I didn't start acting until I was in my late 20s professionally.
Wow.
Going back to school and becoming a therapist and or becoming a realtor, you would.
But that
totally
requires school, Janet. School.
It does require school. You'd have to go be in school. Maybe you would be like, I love it. This is what I've missed. You know?
Barely have a high school degree.
Also, don't feel like you need to. No one's saying you need to. I'm just planting the seed. I'm just saying that I have zero concerns about you. You're either going to continue working till you drop dead, and that's great, or you'll decide you want to do something else, and you'll absolutely be able to do that thing.
I like that your default for me, though, is realtor, because that's
That's an acting thing.
Person, as you know, in LA. Yeah. And maybe that's just an LA thing.
So much money.
Well, that's because every house costs $5 million.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to know a little bit about it at all and to see a listing for something and be like, oh my God, when this person who's telling me that they have this listing in this flyer I got, it's a $5 million house and they are going to get a hard percentage of that. And they are going to be like, I just made $500,000.
And you know what's crazy about, and I speak from no experience, so I'm sure realtors will hate me saying this, but like anyone can do it. Like you just decided to have this person help show you around and, take you around and sell you a house.
Though. I think it is kind of like acting. Like anyone can do it, but you have to have the temperament to actually get good at it.
Yeah, but with acting, like you got to be what they're looking for. You got to be cute. You got to be this. You got to be tall enough, fat enough,
Touché.
Skinny enough, right?
Yeah.
Like talented, like a realtor, like they're just filling out paperwork.
I can't believe I have to have a realtor on. I have to start the realtor wars. I think because one of my like a boyfriend that I was with for many years, his mom was a realtor. So I have sort of a sense of like why it's really hard and how it can be really hard. And that there is a sort of like, you have to stick it out. It's a bit of a marathon because for a long time, you're not going to make any money at all. And you'll go through periods,
right?
Absolutely. So it's stuff like that. So it's work because you've got to work at building those relationships. And I think it takes a long time to sort of cultivate that. And you have to be like the mayor of your neighborhood and then the mayor of, you know, the sort of informal mayor of like being a realtor to kind of get there. It sounds hard.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds hard. So see, we figured it out. It's like,
not everyone can be a realtor. Everyone can be a broker. No, just kidding.
We will not leave here until we have figured out something everyone can be. God damn it. You say you made mistakes in romance. I'm not going to ask you about those things, but I am going to ask you, when you were being homeschooled and when you were working as a young person being homeschooled, what was your love life like? Were you meeting people
on sets?
No.
I'm a depressive. And so that for me started, and I'm good with it now, but I was really, really depressed. I'd say from the age of about 12, because we had kind of moved and that was very traumatic, 12 to maybe about like 24.
Yeah.
Going to church didn't change.
Clean that up.
So weird.
Huh, interesting.
Bizarre. So yeah, like 12 to 24. And I finally got a therapist at like 24 and spent a lot of money in therapy. I didn't have any friends because we had moved. We had moved from West Hollywood to Burbank. And I was going to a junior high and I left for half the year to go shoot the Brady Bunch movie. And so you're already the new kid in school and then you're shooting movies. That's weird. And so I didn't really have a place there. And then, so once I started high school, I didn't really know anybody. And yeah, so I basically spent all my teen years kind of alone. And then when I was 18, I bought a house because they were like, you made some money and let's buy a house and whatever. So instead of college, I bought this house. I was living in this house and I was like renting out a room to like people on Craigslist. Like, I don't even know what the hell.
That's,
yeah. Yeah. So it was weird. And so when I was older, not that much older, when I was like 22, I was like, I'm selling this house. I'm moving to the city, because I had made a friend that I was like in love with. He was not in love with me, but he was like, I want to move to the city. And I was like, I'll move to the city with you. I'm going to sell this house. And I was friends with this much older man. And he was like, the market's going to crash. You should sell. And I was like, I'm going to sell. And my mom was like crying and begging me. And I was like, no, I'm selling this house. And I did. And then the market crashed. Right. And so it was fine. Yeah. But I had to move to the city to go have this city experience, because I had, as a younger person, I was going straight from being in my room, doing homeschool, having a job. I was on this TV show at 17, 18. And then going into this like domestic life of mm-hmm. owning this home and doing this. And it was just really isolated. Yeah. Like, and I'm a person who will naturally isolate anyway. I'm not a reacher outer. So yeah, I just, what was the question? Did I have friends? No, I didn't really.
You weren't really dating.
I had one child actor friend, probably closer to like 16, 17. And she was a weirdo, and her parents were weirdos, but she was just around, you know? And I don't know.
I got to tell you, I'm having that moment where you just said you weren't dating, and that you know, and I just flashed to this thought of like, oh no, I think I would have been like the 17-year-old who's like dating the 37-year-old director.
So
it was like, he's someone who understands me. And yes, you know what I mean? Because I was totally like that as a young. I was definitely one of those girls, and not to blame myself, but I was definitely, but also not to, but anyway, I was definitely one of those girls who was like, you know, I'm understood by older people.
When I was
like,
no,
we talked about, completely. And that feels like something I would regret. That feels like something I would do and then be like, huh. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have made that my pattern.
When I was 21, I was dating this kind of like 36-year-old who ended up being married. I had no idea. I mean, it was just a shit show.
Yeah.
But that was, I didn't relate to people my own age. I didn't know any other 18-year-olds who were owning homes, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a weird, it's just weird. I don't regret it, you know? And I took all that money and I spent it traveling the world. I don't regret it.
That's lovely.
I bought another man I was dating a hair salon. Kind of regret that, but that was my own choice.
Oh, that's a great story. I want to see. You know, I want to watch that show. Oh, I want to watch the show of hilarious Olivia Hack buying a hair salon for someone.
I think that's fucking awesome. Yeah. I owned a hair salon for like a year and a half and ran a hair salon. So look, I can do other things.
That's right, you can.
Yes.
I've never so employed skills. Pointing at a camera more than I have in this Zoom. I'm really into it. Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Our comedy podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, just celebrated its 15th anniversary.
It was a couple months ago, but we forgot.
Completely. Our silly show is 15 years old. That makes it old enough to get its learner's permit.
And almost old enough to get the talk.
Wow, I hope you got the talk before then. A lot of things have changed in 15 years. Our show's not one of them.
We're never changing, and you can't make us.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, the same forever at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got to get into this MASH game with you.
Okay.
I have kept you on for so long, and I'm excited to have this MASH game play out. So first I'm going to go, and I don't know if you ever played MASH because that was something that tended to go on in schools, but perhaps you did.
With the little like mansion. Triangle thing,
no,
right?
No, that's I used to think the same thing. That's like something else. That's like a fortune teller. This
mansion,
is mansion,
apartment, shack, house. Yeah.
And then we're going to do these categories. So
okay.
For example, the first category I'm going to give you is three places in the world you'd love to have a vacation home or just a second home. It can be in a bustling city. Three places. And we're going to pretend like we can teleport you there. So you don't have to take into consideration how you get there.
Oh, great. New Zealand, Hanoi. And let's see, we should do like something. I'm going to say Laguna. I'm enjoying living in Laguna right now.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Next one. Three foods that in this alternate universe reality, in this MASH reality we're creating for you, there's no ramifications. So you can eat 75 Oreos and feel nothing and have it not affect you. You can have 7 cheeseburgers, or it can be like, we're going to give this to you, and you can, like, with a snap of your fingers, you can have as much of this food as you want. 3. And it can also be something that you've only, like, when you were in Hanoi, there was this amazing noodle that you've never been able to have something as delicious since. This is how we use this category in our reality. So 3 things that you can have with 0 ramifications at the snap of your fingers whenever you want.
Okay. Mashed potatoes, like a cheese platter, just all the cheese, and, I like a good steak. Yeah.
Great. This was 4. Also in MASH, gotta have it, romance, 3 people. They could be characters. They could be, you know, actual celebrities from some era. They could be living, dead, whatever you want. 3 people, cartoons, I don't care. 3 people that you want to have some romance or sexy times with in this alternate universe.
Ooh, let's do like Marlon Brando, like Streetcar Named Desire era. Yep. Let's do like a Rihanna. That sounds fun. God, I have a really weird taste in men. Like Vincent D'Onofrio's on my island. That's a weird one,
he's
right?
He's very sexy.
Yeah. But who do I want to bang? Let's do like a young James Spader. Let's just throw him on there.
Absolutely.
He'd probably be weird, right?
That was a real do I want him or do I want to be him for me.
Yeah.
I could not decide. Next one. Let's do 3 movies that you can jump into whenever you want and just be in that world. You're not reliving the plot. It's just getting you into that world whenever you want.
Let's do like LA Confidential.
Great.
I'm just like living in that world. Let's do The Women, which is like a movie from the 30s.
Yes.
Can you tell that I don't want to live in this time?
I appreciate it and I respect it.
What's something that's like visually beautiful? Probably something sci-fi where I can just like float in space. I don't know. Name an astronaut movie.
Astronaut movie that isn't depressing, like Gravity, which is very depressing.
Yeah.
The Martian, Solaris, which is very depressing, but it's a very beautiful movie.
It should be something in space.
Yeah, that's like in space. God, that's such a good question. I'm really only thinking of space movies where like there's
awful.
An alien that's going to murder everyone. that can't be all there is. Maybe we should just put you in Star Wars because then you
can
go.
Put me in Star Wars. I could be anybody. I just want to be a space princess.
Great.
Yeah,
space
princess.
I absolutely approve. Okay, great. Next one, let's do three alternate universe careers that we can drop you into and you'll be a genius at whenever you want.
So when I was young, I wanted to go into advertising. So we could just say advertising.
Right.
Genius careers. It sounds so douchey, but I do really like clothes and all that. So just put me as like a stylist.
Great.
I'll do
Absolutely.
That. I'll be a personal shopper.
Love it.
I'll help rich women figure out what pair of Tory Burch flats to buy.
There you go.
Probably like a travel guide.
Oh yeah. Great.
That's kind of my hobby is traveling. Yeah.
Great. All right. That being said, with that in mind, next category is this is like a trio of places that you can go. It's going to be like a 3-week trip. We're going to send you all expenses paid. And it's like, you're going to bop through 3 places. So, and have it make sense. So you could be like, for example, one of my 3 would be like, I would want to go back to Oslo, Copenhagen, and Stockholm.
Yeah.
So you can do a little cluster. So I'm going to give you 3. You'll end up with 1 when this MASH game settles down. But 3 like triads of places you would want to go.
Oh, you're really working my brain today, Janet.
I really am.
Okay. Well, you know, I love Southeast Asia. So I've been there a few times, but I want to go back. I've never been to Laos. So let's put Laos on there. I want to go back to Malaysia so we could do some Malaysia. And then I've never done Thailand. So let's do Thailand.
Okay. Are those 3 together? Like the first 3.
Laos and Thailand are.
Okay. And then
Malaysia's.
It's its own trip.
Probably. No. They're all 3 together.
Oh, great.
They're
going to
be together.
Okay. That's what I was asking. Okay. So then, what's your next group of 3?
Okay. So I've never done Africa. So like, let's do like a Zimbabwe, a Kenya, and like Madagascar. Let's do
great.
Madagascar. Okay.
Great. And number 3, three.
Oh my God. Let's do, I've done some of South America, but let's do, you know, let's do Europe. Let's do a Norway. Great. And I'll go back to Sweden and let's do
like Iceland.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Two categories left. We're going to tear through them. This next category is let's do three. Ooh, what do I want to give you? See, this is where I start putting pressure on myself.
Get it right.
I got to get it right. Let's do three people in show business that you get to work with. And this is in any capacity. And these people can be dead, alive. I don't care. It's magic. So three people in showbiz that you would love to collaborate with on something.
Let's do Paul Thomas Anderson.
Great.
Let's do Elizabeth Taylor, because I just want to watch that train wreck on set. I think it would be fabulous.
Absolutely.
And let's do Christian Bale. Sure. He seems interesting and probably intense.
I like this. I like this sort of like social studies of experiencing some of these people. Like,
yeah, because
I like that.
I don't care about acting with them.
Yeah.
As much as I'm just like, ooh, I just want to observe what
them.
This is like.
Yeah. You're a curious person. I love that. Okay. And then I do know what the last category is, which is three places in time that you would love to be able to go visit. And you're in a safety bubble. So nothing bad's going to happen to you. You can go hang in, you know, Paris in the 20s, you know, Hollywood in the 40s, like whatever you want.
So a location too, or just the era?
I mean, I feel like there might be a location that ends up you tie to the era, but if you don't have that, you don't have to have one. Do you know what I mean? If you want to see the 1940s all over the world, that's great too.
Okay. Let's do, if I'm in a safety bubble, let's do like World War II in like London or something, right? Let's do the 1920s anywhere.
Right.
Paris sounds good. Sure. And then I don't know why I'm like, really, now that you tell me I'm in a safety bubble, this war thing is interesting to me too. So like, let's do like Savannah during like the Civil War or something.
Sure.
I don't know. That's interesting.
I'm fascinated by that stuff too. I mean, I think really living in a time where we keep getting precipitously closer to certain types of war, but we ourselves have not lived through something like that. I think it becomes like really fascinating and it feels unreal to me in a way that, you know, when I watch war movies, I'm like, God, I can't believe people had to just live like this.
I mean,
like, well, I lived in London for 2 years during the Blitz.
Crazy.
Like, just could have died at any moment. And that was and you live because we're human beings and we just kind of adapt. It's fascinating to me.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Okay. Give me a number between 1 and 7.
6.
Great. Okay. This is the time in which, A, it could be all edited out, so it just seems like I very quickly did this to the listener, but I also like to use it as a time for my guests to tell people where to find them, what they can watch or check out. It can be your own stuff. Could even be something that you're like, I've been listening to this podcast. I have nothing to do with it, but I think you should listen to it kind of thing. So this is your time to vamp, but also you don't have to vamp if you would rather me just like...
Oh, while you're doing
zing
that.
Through it. Yeah. So
oh,
this is...
Okay.
I'm a zing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm on Instagram, The Olivia Hack. I have a Twitter. I never look at it because who gives a shit about Twitter? I really liked Severance. I just finished that.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, I loved Severance. I don't know. I'm just a person doing a thing. I've got a new video game coming out. It's a new Harry Potter game. I'm very excited about it. And catch me at Comic Cons, because that's how I'm living my life right now. I'm just at a Comic Con every weekend.
I totally get it. I hope we overlap sometime soon.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'm almost done. I'm feeling very good about this.
Fast.
I'm a pro. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your beautiful mansion. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
In New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Fabulous. Fabulous. You also have the ability to jump into LA Confidential whenever you want, which I think is good. That's an exciting, sexy time in Hollywood that I was very excited you wanted to have access to in the form of that movie. So I'm glad you got that. I'm also very interested to hear about your experience in World War II London. I am very, very interested. So can't wait. You're gonna have to get back to me on that. Sounds like you're doing a lot of bopping around. Look, you're going to be very busy. I want you to know that you can carb up on those mashed potatoes whenever you desire.
Oh, yum.
Zero ramifications. Just delight in those mashed potatoes.
Good thing, because I'm in the UK.
Good thing, because you're in the UK. Also, really easy for me to imagine, like, Marlon Brando eating mashed potatoes off your shoulder for some reason.
That's not all
he's gonna
be eating.
Works. There it is. It is very easy for me to imagine that. So sexy Marlon Brando, Streetcar Named Desire era. You also, as if all of this travel that you're able to do inside of going through history, inside of going into movies, inside of having your place in New Zealand, you also have been a travel guide. So more
this
making
is
money
my dream life.
From
okay.
just going all around jet setting. And then, of course, part of that will be the long vacation you get to take in Laos and Thailand and Malaysia. So that's going to be, that's
Janet,
not work, baby.
All
that's
these
play.
Things are my okay? the number one thing. I'm so happy here.
And I think it's going to inform the work and experience you do that you were able to visit World War II London, because there's just no way that Christian Bale isn't going to do another movie that's set in World War II. So maybe that'll be what you work with him on. You're going to find out what it's like to work with him.
Oh, I hope he yells at me.
He might yell at you. Ooh,
yay.
Ooh, I have a really strong feeling you would definitely take him down a notch. Also something I want to see in a safety bubble. Olivia Hack, that will conclude our podcast episode. I'm so glad we did this. I loved getting to talk to you more. Obviously, you're on Braving the Elements. This is you and me. This is like, ain't nobody
else. I didn't even know
ain't
we
no
were
show
recording.
To talk about. I didn't even do anything Avatar related. I should have done an Avatar thing. So anybody who listens to this wishing that I had done that, I'm going to say, go back over to Braving the Elements. That's for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm on this show called Avatar.
Great. And also, you were on the show called Avatar. Everybody else, I will talk to you next time on the podcast. The show is produced by Julian Burrell and Christian Duenas.
And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Hey, remember when we could save kittens from trees?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.